What's the best thing you've bought for $3.99? We bought CISO. CISO has a nearly endless supply of top-shelf comedy. Literally months' worth of exclusive originals, face-melting stand-up, next-day late-night, and a great catalog of classics. CISO, spelled S-E-E-S-O, is the new ad-free streaming service, bringing you hilarious original series, hand-picked classics, weeks of stand-up specials, and more. Bingeable comedy, anytime, anywhere. CISO. Every episode of SNL ever, including new episodes the day after they air. The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon and Late Night with Seth Meyers the day after air. And they even have classics like 30 Rock, Parks and Rec, and Saved by the Bell. Even British comedies like the original Office with Ricky Gervais, the entire Monty Python catalog, The IT Crowd, and Steve Coogan as Alan Partridge. Discover the next big names in comedy and watch the icons before they made it big, like Louis C.K. when he had hair, Hannibal Buress, Chelsea Peretti, Amy Schumer, Bo Burnham, and so many more. If you're serious about comedy, you've got to try CISO. Stream it anytime, anywhere, on virtually any device. CISO is ad-free and just $3.99 per month. That's less than you paid for that latte or artisan cold-brewed coffee you're holding right now. Our listeners can try CISO free for 2 months when you use promo code CRAPPINS at checkout. Just go to SEESO.com right now to sign up for 2 months free with promo code CRAPPINS at checkout. That's CISO.com, promo code CRAPPINS. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its sponsors, Mia Hansen Aloha, Christy Doherty, and our special super premium sponsor, the gorgeous, sexy Madge with the sexy J. We love you girls. Hello, and welcome to the Watch What Crappens podcast, the podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on Bravo. I'm Ronnie Karam from Trash Talk TV and the Rose Pricks Bachelor podcast, and here I am with the gorgeous, talented and well stuffed Ben Mandelker of the B-side blog and the Banta Blender.
Hello. I'm so stuffed. I am plumped up like a goose going in for some foie gras treatment. I have probably gained about 10 pounds since we last spoke.
Well, you know that the time is right to do our podcast because someone has started sawing something across the street from Ben. And yep. A leaf blower will probably show up at any moment because that's how we roll.
I can't believe you can hear the sound of that.
Dude, the second we started, it was like, God damn, every time.
Someone is like, I don't know what's going on out there. Like, at least it's not the normal drill. Like, literally, there's normally a drill going off during a podcast. But you know what, though? The podcast is young. It'll start up soon, I'm sure.
Unlike the entire cast of Vanderpump Rules.
Mm-hmm.
Such a fun show today. We've got so many good things to talk about. I mean, Vanderpump Rules was a classic.
It was an amazing episode.
Should we just jump right into Vanderpump?
Well, let's do our little housekeeping stuff first.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Okay, everybody. Yeah, it's our first show post-Thanksgiving, so my brain cells are still being digested.
Yeah. Okay.
Swallowed a bunch of those. Come to watchwhatcrappens.com for all these links. Go to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens to become a premium subscriber. And that's where you get our bonus episodes. We just did our Married to Medicine /Thanksgiving bonus episode.
Oh, such a fun episode. I could have gone on for like another hour just like chatting.
It was over an hour of goodness, recapping real life and Married to Medicine Houston. You can come on to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's where all the listeners hang out and talk at the live show threads. You can comment on these episodes that you're listening to right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it, right?
Yep.
What did I forget? Okay, that's it.
So subscribe on iTunes.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Subscribe on iTunes and all that. And thank you for everything you do for us.
Thank you. We're getting thanks. We're still in the Thanksgiving spirit, so we're saying thank you again.
Thank you, turkeys. Okay.
We're now doing Southern accents because we're just doing Marriage Medicine Houston. So
we love you with all our heart, even though you smell like a fart. I mean, it was a very classy Married to Medicine episode,
yes, guys. Yes, it was great. Speaking of classy, let's just dive into Vanderpump Rules because this week's episode, last night's episode, oh my God, it was every single thing was cracking me up. Everything was great about it. This, to me, was like why we tune into Vanderpump Rules.
Well, you know, when you're driving on Fountain and you're like, who the hell in L.A. eats at a place called Fat Sal's? And then you find out. Have you ever been to Fat Sal's? I mean, they really are like chicken fingers, cheese, French fries, pepperoni, and steak on a sandwich. I mean, that place ain't fucking around. And everyone in there is thin.
Here's, by the way, a siren outside, just to add to the, to the noise.
To my heart attack that I'm having from even talking about Fat Sal's.
Yeah, that's probably an ambulance going directly to Fat Sal's. I actually was there about 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. I went there. I mean, seriously, it's watch this ambulance stop right outside.
Oh, my God, die on your own time. I live across from an old folks home, and they're always over there. I'm like, really, what is the fireman going to do for you? Okay. Can you guys clear the dead Russians with a quieter car? It's not like a shock.
Well, so anyway, I was at Fat Sal's about 2 weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago. I was there at like 12:30 or 12:45 a.m. I was getting just like a sandwich late at night because I do enjoy, like their normal sandwiches are really good. It's just they have crazy sandwiches that I stay away from. And I went in and, oh my God, I'm like the only person over 22 in there. Everyone was like a youngin', and they've got this like loud hip hop music playing, sports on TV, and like everyone was just like they were just coming from the club. A lot of like basics in there. I mean, no surprise. Mm-hmm. And then it was me, and I never felt so old.
You know, I don't care how old you people are at Fat Sal's. Get off the skateboards. I mean, you're just too old for a skateboard. I don't even care. I mean, everybody here, it's like you're 40. What are you doing on a skateboard? If you're going to kill yourself, do it with, like, drugs or something adult-like.
I mean, you know, I just, on JetBlue last night, I was watching an episode of Love It or List It, and the husband, there was a couple, and the husband, it was like this 40-year-old skateboarding professor, and he was like, oh, well, I need to have a skate park in the backyard. And Hillary was like, well, that's ridiculous, and I'm not going to build that for you. And he's like, he's like, well, I need it. It's on the list. And she's like, ha ha ha. You're ridiculous. they literally were getting into a fight, and she was like, I have $85,000, and I have to make 3 bathrooms, and I have to put in a new kitchen and, like, a new roof, and you want me to build a skate park. He's like, yeah. She's like, no, it's not going to happen. It was like half the episode was them fighting, and I was like, you are such a douchebag. And in the end, she wound up making the skate park, of course.
That shit is hilarious.
So,
No, I will not do that for you. Grow up.
She was basically like that. She's like, well, do you want a kitchen or do you want to be able to skate? Okay.
I want to kick people on skateboards over so bad. It's an epidemic here. 40-year-olds on skateboards. And I live on a street that's downhill. And so I'm walking my dog all innocently. And then they come barreling down. They're like, what's up, bro? I want to kick them off so bad. Or whip out some gravel from my pocket and just sprinkle the road with it. You know, watch them.
By the way, you know, in the end, the skateboarder, he decided to love the place because they put in the skate park. But I'm like, you know what? I wish you had actually said you wanted to list it, because I guarantee the skate park would have actually driven the price down, because who wants a skate park in their backyard? It's like, I mean, a very specific demographic who is wanting a skate park.
She should have just built them a pool. I mean, that's like the
exactly
that's all they really need. And then they could just fill it up later, and then it would add value. Thank you. I will be on HGTV soon.
So anyway, we've barely even gotten past like the first exterior image of this show.
You know how some people look so much prettier without makeup? Like some girls, you're like, oh my God, why are you even wearing makeup? We met Ariana's brother this week, and I was like, whoa, keep the makeup, because I have a feeling this kid looks just like you. And without makeup, she's probably like, a man, you know, from the Looney Tunes.
Ariana is actually like gorgeous, and she is one of the only people on this entire cast that has not like totally messed up her face with injections and who knows what else.
I know, but her brother is similar to her, but he's like a total doof looking kid. I mean, he's a kid, you know, but
he's basically he's basically like a combination of Ariana and Max. So that's
true, actually. Wow, that's a good observation.
Yeah. So they're there and they're talking. Ariana's talking about how like the brothers moved in with like with her and Tom, and that they're not having as much sex. And then Lala drives up in her controversial Range Rover, and they're again like talking about the Range Rover rumors. And I like how she's basically like, listen, I'm sucking dick for a lot more than Range Rovers, honey.
Really? Because like, you're eating at Fat Sal's. So. Like, what exactly are you getting from these dick sucks?
Free sandwiches.
Yeah, she totally doesn't suck dick for more than a sandwich and a Range Rover. Let's face it. I mean, that's good payment now. You can get blowjobs for free. So I say if you get a Range Rover, good for you, girl. I like when Ariana was like, I wish this place had hooks under the table for your purse. And her brother goes, you should invent those. You'll be rich. And she's like, actually, they already have those. And he goes, they do?
I totally missed that. I saw when she asked about the hooks. I didn't see him being like shocked at the innovations of hook innovations.
Also, at Fat Sal's, there's a tiny parking lot there. And so no one can ever park. And they're always parked illegally. And someone's like, so anybody in a Volkswagen Passat? A Volkswagen Passat? And just the controversy that it caused, because Tom looked so annoyed that someone was making an announcement during his lunch. He was like,
we're shooting you, man.
This is our art, man. And
come on, man. I don't want to have to reshoot the scene. I've already had three of your hoagies, man.
Lala's like, not me. Otherwise, they wouldn't question my car. Maybe I should get a Passat. And Ariana goes, yeah, you need a new car just to bring to the restaurant so people are nicer to you. And Tom's like, yeah, you need a burner car, man.
Ariana's brother's like, whoa, is that like a car for going to Burning Man?
So we find out that James, Lala had to de-man his apartment, whatever that means. I mean, he's living in some old guy's apartment. I don't know how you're going to do that, but unless you like burn the old man. But she announces that James has a girlfriend and she's coming in town and she's a pageant girl named Raquel.
Yeah. I was like, whoa, where did this come from? Okay, this is getting interesting.
Yeah.
And I think not long after that, we then cut to James's apartment, right? And in anticipation of Raquel's triumphant return to his place, he's blown up a few like dollar store balloons and like done that thing where you rub them on the side of like your shirt to get the sack electricity and stick them on the side of the wall. So it just looked like a really crappy kindergartner's classroom.
Yeah, it really did. And he had like some flowers, you know, from like the roses lady downstairs. Yeah. And then he had, did you notice the pink Himalayan sea salt candle from Ross? LOL. Oh.
I did not notice that, but I by the way, I did love how everyone at Fat Sal's was laughing at the idea of this girl coming in and then they're just like sleeping on his like air mattress behind a screen.
Yeah, well, there's an old dude behind them. Lala's like, even I'm not gonna butt my guy's pee-pee with a man behind a screen.
Yeah, even Lala has standards, guys. And I like that when James is talking about her, he's like bragging. He's like, yeah, I met Raquel when I was at Pump on New Year's Eve while I was DJing because I'm a rock star.
This girl is sad enough that she spent her New Year's Eve at Pump. I mean, yeah. Like, we all love to go to Pump every once in a while, but New Year's Eve, girl, you paying $500 to go to Pump. You're really sad.
Yeah, girl, you need, I mean, like, I know those pageants don't turn out a lot of money, but please.
This girl actually looked like a cross between Lala, she has a little Lala to her, and Christina Kelly. She has like Christina Kelly in her face. She looked like a big squished up version of a lot of these fucked up faces on this show.
I just love these pretty young imbeciles who come on without doing any due diligence, aka watching any of the shows from previous seasons, and they come on truly just to be famous, and even if it means sleeping with the most wretched human beings on earth.
Truly, I mean, sleeping with any dude that says I played Beyonce and I got a girlfriend. That's, you're disgusting. Just be quiet.
And I like how James like explaining all the wonderful aspects of Raquel. He's like, Raquel's a beauty pageant girl, and also she works with special needs kids. I'm like, well, that explains a lot about your relationship then.
She's going to help me make some poo-poo and some pee-pee and a toy. And he's like, she works with special needs kids, unlike Kristen, who is special needs.
Like, good one there.
Good one, James.
Like, my special needs joke was much better.
I love when James pulls out a retard joke. No, James. Classy hugs, James. Classy hugs.
Well, the thing that I like the most about Raquel is that she did take a good look at this, okay? And she did see that this is the best that she's going to get, okay?
The best thing about Raquel is that she thinks balloons sticking to the wall is magic.
She doesn't understand gravity. That's why she hates that song from Wicked.
She's like, I'm defying gravity, okay.
Here comes another truck. Excuse me. It's the Vanderpump Express coming through.
God, no kidding. Something not defying gravity. The garbage truck cleaning up whatever disaster just happened out there.
Just wait till the garbage truck comes through, because that is like World War III. It's like for like 20 minutes. Like they're shaking every last piece of scrap out of that dumpster. Speaking of dumpsters, so James is like talking. So Raquel shows up, and James is once again saying, "Oh, I got into a bit of trouble, you know." He's like, "But people are jealous of me. People are just so jealous of me.
They're so jealous because I'm not serving fried chicken and goat cheese empanadas. They're jealous of me." And she goes, "Well, if pursuing your dream upsets people, then just brush it off." And he's like, "Oh, you're perfect, darling. You're perfect. You're perfection." She's like, "You're perfection." It's like, you so are getting like five diseases right now. You know that, right? I hope you got some antibacterial soap or something to be wiping down there, because you're about to get sick, girl. She's like, "Why won't this cold go away? Why?"
And that was the end of Raquel. We didn't share the rest of the episode. She really was only there. We just had to, they had to give us a scene of Raquel so that way later on we would understand how things got so out of control.
What was she a beauty pageant of? Because they kept showing her, you know, ribbon thing or whatever that you wear around your bikini when you're, you know what I mean?
I feel
what
like
you call those?
It was, she was like
the cul-de-sac of the mount. I was like, where are you from?
Miss Northern Sacramento, like 2013 or something. like Miss Mendocino, Modesto County runner-up.
So next we go to Cafe Demitasse. I used to work at a place called Cafe Demitasse in Trump Tower, New York City, in 1994. What do you think of that, guys?
Wow. Little known secret, when I was a child, I loved going into Trump Tower. That was like my favorite place.
Yes. We worked in
it's like
basement.
Big. It was an escalator. They're like escalators and atriums. Like when you're a kid, like I don't know about you. When I was a kid, I loved escalators. Going on a ride on the escalator was like the best.
No, I couldn't enjoy it because my mom was like, "Do you know how many children have died on those? Stay still."
And I was like bad. I would always love to have my like shoes bump the thing at the top. And now I'm like, ah, it's like jumping over it. But oh god, I was.
Yeah, my mom had us thinking we would be dead if we like didn't pay attention on the escalator. I was at the Grove the other day, and you know, you see everybody on the escalator, and there were kids playing on it, and I was like, they're gonna die. Like it never leaves your brain, you know?
Yeah, it's just that they're shoelaces, that's all. So anyway, So at Demitasse, Stassi, Kristen, and Katie were hanging out, and I'm just like already laughing because these three are so evil, and now that they're finally reunited as a group, they have like returned to their season one nastiness, and it is perfection.
Because they're like old and fat now. Like it's so good when they're still trying to be like evil waitresses in their 20s. I'm like, you bitches are 40 now, you know? And they're being so mean to each other. And Kristen's like, "I know I'm older, but like, I'm gonna get veneers. Like, I'm getting all my teeth taken out, and I'm gonna get veneers, like, just in case, because I'd like to think guys still like me."
Veneerously.
Veneerously, Tom. Ugh.
So,
I mean, think about the desperation of that. Can we? Just like getting all your teeth taken out and getting new ones put in. Just because you want to get fucked.
I thought she was just joking when she said that, to be honest. To be fair to Kristen, I thought she was actually just being tongue-in-cheek.
No, she literally got all her teeth taken out and got new teeth put in.
That's true.
Which is an amazing feat that you can do that in one morning. She's like, yeah, it's done, look.
I thought that was like a long process. But pretty much everything I've learned about dental procedures, I learned from America's Next Top Model. So, you know, what do I know? That's true.
The original horse faces.
This was great. So the girls were all there, and it gave them a chance all to brew up some hatred towards Sheena, which is really, really the heart of the show. This show is built on hatred towards Sheena, if you really think about it.
It really is.
So Kristen's like, "Yeah, so I was like hanging out with Sheena, like seriously, and
like,
she
I
was
took Carter to Sheena's parents." I mean, just think about that for a minute.
I missed that. She took Carter to like Azusa?
Yeah, she took Carter over to Sheena's parents.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, just why were there no cameras there? Why?
I know. Did Carter wind up with like a butterfly tattoo on his wrist?
He comes back and he's like, "Auntie's really into crop tops."
I like that Carter's talking and like Kristen out. Seriously? Seriously?
Seriously, I'll pay for 40% of this check. Seriously.
So anyway, so Kristen says that that Sheena was saying how like Katie really hurt Sheena's feelings because last episode Katie was drunk and was like, you know, Sheena, it's just that like you were talking to Lala and like it's like I don't want to be the girl that says you can't talk to Lala, but like that's like fucked up because like where's your loyalty? It just like made me feel sad. It's all just it's like I don't know. Like
yeah, like I don't Katie. Need my friends questioning me, stupid Katie.
By the way, what was so great about this episode is that we got a million hilarious flashbacks to Katie being like petulant or whiny or angry or self-interested. You know, it was amazing.
Yeah, this was not a Katie positive episode. The people who run this show hate Katie's guts. I mean, they were horrible to Katie and hilariously so. I was dying. I was like, another montage of basically Katie being a dick, but more importantly, Katie's terrible hair over the seasons. I mean, every clip was just more, it was just more and more terrible than the clip before it, you know?
But, you know, at the same time, I'm actually appreciating this because I feel like the, you know, with Katie, I'm always like, ugh, Katie, she's so boring. She's whiny and annoying. But I feel like this season, we're finally getting a good, like, sense of, like, why we should hate Katie's, like, love to hate Katie, you know? Like we're getting a feeling like, you know, Kristen, we love to hate her because she's just, like, a crazy person. And Stassi is just such a huge bitch. But Katie is now, like, it's just so funny to see how terrible she is in her own whiny, sad way. I feel like we're really getting a good...
She's bad. And the whole world hates her right now. I mean, I know I sound like Kelly Dodd. The whole world loves me. But I feel like she probably feels like, oh my God, the entire world fucking hates me. Twitter's like, fuck you, Katie.
So Katie, when she hears that Sheena got her feelings hurt, Katie's like, it's just, you know, like, you know, when I try to have a critical conversation, which is hilarious because she's just drunk, you know, she's like, I try to have a critical conversation with Sheena and she becomes so defensive. It's like, not fair.
Yeah, it's like not fair. Like, and Stassi's like, it's a loyalty thing. It's like a loyalty thing. I mean, if you want to be part of this group, Uber driver, a waitress, and no one knows what Kristen does yet, but still, like, if you want to be a part of this power trio, she's like level 2 at UCB. Okay, she like killed the game like 1 time out of 5. So
she's like a headliner for like the improv's basement room by the furnace.
I just, in their mind, they're such a huge pack, like this power pack of girls. It's like the Heathers with no red scrunchies. Like, you guys don't even have scrunchies. You suck. You have nothing to offer.
Yeah, I just, I love the fact that Katie getting defensive about Sheena getting defensive and then saying it's not fair that Sheena gets so defensive when all Katie does is act defensive about things.
I'm trying to find this tweet that I took a screenshot of last night because I made a couple of Vanderpump Rules tweets because I was watching it live, and someone tweeted, Sheena, I hate when you're a bitch like this. Like, you're so mean this season. I like when you're nice to people. And she like quote retweeted it or whatever you called, and then she just said, blah, 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 dot, dot, dot. Like, you tell him, Sheena. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, blah, 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 blah.
Oh my goodness. Well, so speaking of bitchy Sheena, so we then go over to Sir. We're cross-cutting between scenes, and it's Brittany and Sheena rolling up napkins, and Lala comes in, and Lala's like, hey guys, so what's up? How's it going? How's everyone's weekend? And she was like, meh, meh, meh.
She won't talk to her.
She won't. She won't say, because Katie has scared her into talking to Lala, and so Sheena's just being such an ice cold bitch at this moment. And finally she goes, listen, I don't want to be a bitch, but like, I just don't want to talk to you. Like, I'll say hi to you, but I won't say more because I'm friends with Katie. And it's like makes me really uncomfortable.
Yeah. and she's like, okay. And then Sheena picks up her roll ups. She's like, picks up her napkins and she's like, bye. So she goes, she like leaves bitchily, and then Brittany does too. I was like, what the hell, Brittany? So they both leave, and Lala's like, who's the sucker now? Like, they have nowhere to roll those fucking things up now.
Yeah,
I'm staying at this bar. Like, who lost? So then it cuts back to the restaurant. Stassi's, they're just having a conversation. Stassi's like, yeah, I got this marble trash can, and now it's like too heavy to empty the trash. I'm like, ow.
I wrote that down also. And you know, I would probably say something very similar. But by the way, who gets a marble trash can?
Stassi, oh my god.
Are you sure it wasn't just like a planter for outside that you're like, oh, I could put a trash bag in this?
It's like a big one of those big giant pots from Sir.
It's like you didn't get a trash can, you got a hollowed out marble column, Stassi.
Jax just stole a potter from Pump for her. It's like an anniversary gift. So they get, you hear like the bloom, bloom, or whatever, and Katie gets, no, wait, who got the text?
Kristen
gets a text.
Long text.
So it's this wall of text, and I didn't take a screenshot, but she reads it, and it's basically, you won't believe this, I was like rolling up napkins, and I was getting the fork, and the knife lined up in the napkin, and like Lala came in, and I was like, I'm not talking to you, because Katie's my best friend, you're like stupid, like fuck up, and like, we don't have napkins, I'm gonna get fired, and, Stassi goes, well, bravo. They all start clapping.
Yeah. Like Stassi goes, I'm so proud of her.
She's like, well, congratulations for being a good girlfriend like one time. Like, unfortunately, you didn't do that the first time. But still.
So nasty. So meanwhile, over at Sir, Lisa walks in, and like she's like 1 foot in the restaurant, and out of nowhere comes Diana. And you know, Diana only shows up when someone's about to get fired, and Diana's like, what is this, James? James is awful.
She's like, how long are we going to tolerate this, Lisa? She's like, well, he's been okay, right, darling? He's been like, all right, hasn't he?
Then it's like, James disconnected the music while he was drunk. And they're like, oh, disconnected the music. And then Lisa's like, well, this is unacceptable. Let me tell you something. I just need definitive evidence and then I will fire him. I'm like, Lisa, definitive evidence. You got Diana, your manager, being like, this guy's terrible.
I like when Diana goes, I seriously do not like this person. Like, all right, Diana, I've got it, darling. So Tom too is calling, he's going to a shrink. Now, look, yes. I get that these people get their facial surgery. Any service that these people get, they get for free for a couple of Instagram mentions. Mm-hmm. I get it. But girl, what is that? Like the basement of a strip mall?
It was
the back
like,
of a Toys R Us. I mean, where the hell was he going to therapy?
I don't know. That was like a cubbyhole. That looked like a little workspace in some place like WeWork or something. Like I was just, it wasn't even a full office. I mean, it was like the size of my bathroom.
Yeah. She's like, welcome. I hope you found, I don't know, somewhere to park.
So he goes. And so he, sorry, you broke up there for a second, so I didn't hear what you really said, but I sort of like, I smiled.
Just starting my Tom therapy. He's like, God, I feel bad because, like, I'm just, like, scared of Katie, but, like, I'm scared of what she's capable of when she fully loses, I don't know, control, and she goes to the dark side. He's, like, so tortured. Iron your shirt. Iron your old Navy shirt, Tom.
So then, but the best part about this is that we got to see like a big long montage of Tequila Katie, which is like my favorite. She's like, why don't you go hang out with a whore inside? It's a classic Katie.
And then when it ended with him pouring tequila all over her head.
So then the therapist is like, all right, here's your homework. You have to go home and you have to like check in with Katie and see where she is with her rage. And then I have to ask you this question. Do you really want to get married? Do you really, really, really want to get married? He's like, yeah, I think.
Here, they're going to write their own vows and his are going to be. The end.
Yeah.
She'll be like, I do. Like, I totally do. Bubba, bubba. Also, the shrink is like, okay, your homework is to go home and talk to Katie about all this. But then what the fuck is he paying you for?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
He's not here. He's here to find a way to not have to do that ever again. Okay.
Yeah. So back at the restaurant, Lisa comes up to Jax and Jax is like, hey. So Lala and Sheena are fighting, and he's like, oh, darling, what? And Jax has this whole thing like, well, I don't want fighting going. Oh, maybe that was a little bit later. But so Sheena walks up.
That was that. He's like, Have you heard about the big drama today, Lisa? Like, huge fight. It's like, ah, darling, why are you starting crap everywhere you turn? He's like, look, I'm just trying to be the good person here, Lisa. I don't want fighting in the first place. Like, I don't want fighting in the workplace.
Such yeah. Ass.
And Sheena comes up. He's like, Sheena, come over here. And Sheena comes up. She's like, hi, Lisa. You won't believe this. Like, Brett and I were doing roll ups earlier, and Lala came in. She's like, hi, how are you?
And she goes, yeah. And Lisa goes, what's wrong with that? Like, that was literally, by the way, that's like literally what Sheena said. She's like, yeah. Lala was like, hey, girls, how was your weekend? And then Lisa was like, darling, what's wrong with that?
What's wrong with saying hello? How are you, darling? It's a place of business. And Sheena goes, yeah, but Katie hates her.
And Lisa was getting so annoyed with the pettiness. Lisa's like, listen, I know I'm on another TV show. We are exclusively petty to each other, but this is ridiculous.
So funny. Sheena is such an idiot. she goes, oh, Lord. Sheena goes, yeah, but Katie's mad because I'm like forgiving and don't hold grudges. It's like you just went up to your boss to bitch at somebody for saying hi to you.
I love when Sheena casts herself as like the virtuous martyr. She always says that, you know, this is what I get for just be caring too much about people and forgiving them and not having grudges and just giving to charities all the time. I just add a little beep at the end. Just
she's like, so... did anybody finish rolling up the silverware, darling?
I tried to, but Lala was like, hey, hi. And I was like, I can't work in this environment.
Lala was like, you guys are good today. And I was like, argh! I'm never rolling silver again.
Who does she think she is?
So Katie and Tom's apartment Katie, or whatever. Katie is coloring in a coloring book drunk.
Yeah, she's still drunk from what she had at Demitasse, and she's also drinking wine by herself, coloring. I mean, this is a very... I know adult coloring is like a thing, but when Katie does it, it just could not look more pathetic.
Adult coloring is a thing, stop it. If you're an adult who goes to color to relax, get a hobby. I don't know. Get you an iPad and learn something. Google. Google anything you want. Any interest, Google it.
I don't mind the adult coloring, but I just feel like when Katie does it, she's like, it just all contributes to this like image she's trying to present of herself as just being like precious and cute. And just like, I do things like adult coloring and I go onto Pinterest and then I'm totally bitchy to all the other girls. So Tom comes in and he looks absolutely terrified. He's like, she's doing something precious right now. That means she's about to unleash on me.
He's like, yeah, so, I was talking to Dr. Brandy today. She's like, what? Why didn't I know about this? He's like, are you drunk? No, I mean, well, I'm not going to lie. I had a couple drinks with the girls, but that doesn't count. And coloring, Tom. Coloring. Okay, I'm color. You got a problem with it? He's like, well, I don't want this to be a confrontation. It's just that, you know, when you go to the dark side and you tell me you don't want to be with me. And she's like, why would I put down a deposit if I had a nugget of something that I was going to be mad at you for, okay?
She's like, just because it's something I said when I was drunk. I'm like, listen, if Tom said something when he was drunk, I guarantee you would hold it over his head for years.
Well, basically. And then she's like, you've already paid me back for that tenfold, Tom. I'm like, oh, God, you guys are on a payback system. This is not a good relationship.
Well, I think she was alluding to the fact that he cheated on her, like he kissed another girl.
Oh, remember? When she said, you've already paid me back?
I think she was alluding to the fact, like, listen, like, you already make me feel, but you already, like, you know, you kiss another girl, yada, yada, yada. And then Tom's like, at this point, Tom just, like, gives up. He's like, okay. He's Bubba, like, listen, no, Bubba, no, I'm in it to win it, Bubba. I'm in it to win it. Yeah, no, let's just forget I said anything. This isn't going the way I want it to be.
She's like, I'm just supposed to take it. I'm sorry, I'm defending myself. Okay, I'm supposed to sit here and take your abuse. It's like this relation. He's totally doing this on purpose, by the way. He sees that she's drunk. It's like his greatest fear, and he's fucking with her on purpose. Like, what? Yeah. Do you just enjoy getting beat?
Tom, just accept the fact that Katie is allowed to vent to you her feelings and her frustrations, and you're not allowed to do the same. And that's just the relationship you're in.
He goes, well, my problem is I shouldn't have, you know, brought a knife to a gunfight. It's not a gunfight. She's coloring. It's like a crayon.
He just shouldn't have gone to the fight in the first place.
Well, she gets really upset, and he's on the couch going "Bubba," and she just runs to the fridge and starts shoving iceberg lettuce down her throat.
Yeah,
and I died. Like, poor Katie is. You know that iceberg. First of all, you know she ain't a salad eater because she's eating iceberg. So you know that she's like week one of Weight Watchers that she's even considering iceberg. And then she's, like, shoving it with all this white dressing down her face. And I felt so bad for her. I'm like, she's been sitting here with the camera crew all day. She's been shooting all day. She wanted to have this nice adulting coloring scene with Tom. He comes and shits all over her. And she can't even have a proper emotional binge because all she's got is iceberg.
I know. She, at this point, she's the only one keeping Foxy Lettuce alive.
You know that camera crew left and Domino's arrived.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, she was shoving it in. I mean, she had it was an intense moment of eating your feelings.
Yes.
And I feel like the lettuce probably just gave her more feelings that she needed to eat.
Yeah.
She's like, could I be any sadder than I am right now shoving
like,
iceberg
I can't do this. And I was laughing so hard because, you know, I am an emotional eater. And I was laughing so hard, and I made like a mean tweet about Katie or whatever. And then late at night, I smoked this new weed I got, and it made me crazy. Like I was lying in my bed, like thinking awful negative things. And I was like, I know that this is just bad weed. Like I need to get over it. My ass was up here grilling corn tortillas on the grill and eating them with peanut butter. I had like 13 last night, and I was like, you know, this is your karma. For fucking making fun of Katie and her iceberg, you're sitting here like doing real damage to yourself with the worst food in the world. Idiot.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But to be fair, nothing could be more fitting than Katie, sad Katie, eating the saddest lettuce known to man, iceberg lettuce. Of course she would go for the saddest lettuce.
This not even like a relationship is hitting the iceberg.
So speaking of odd things, we then go to Jax and Brittany's apartment where they're having a stupid argument about cleaning a fish tank. I can't even believe they have a fish tank. I can't believe that there are other living things that they are meant to be taking care of in that apartment.
Like, isn't there enough in Jax's work shirts?
Yeah,
like, you've got enough pets in this house. It's like, you're going to clean the fish tank. Brittany, the only thing we ever see Brittany do at home is put on eyeliner. You notice that? Like, every time she's at home, she's putting on more and more eyeliner.
and Jax's whole thing is that he's like, well, I pay the bills, so like I just want a sandwich when I get home. He just keeps talking about how he just wants sandwiches.
Jax, A, you don't need sandwiches, and B, a sandwich is two pieces of bread with things in it. Why can't you do that? And why are you paying her bills? She's got a job. Yeah. It's so weird.
Have you considered iceberg lettuce, Jax?
You can't win with us.
Yeah. Now I think the only reason why this scene was really in the show was just the way they could have footage of Brittany talking in the interview and having her top snap open like repeatedly. I'm like, you know, I'm not trying to fat shame you, Brittany, because I think you're a beautiful girl. But if your top cannot stay closed during your interview, it's time to rethink either your diet or your wardrobe. One of those things.
Like, what is happening? It happened three times in a row. They had to do the same things.
Yeah. It was like.
And then Jax refuses to take a shower or change his shirt before work. Again, he wakes up in his work shirts. This guy's such a pig. He just comes home smelling like bar rot, goes to sleep, wakes up and leaves again. He never showers or anything. She's like, would you at least change your shirt?
He's like, I'm not trying to impress anyone.
Clearly not.
It worked.
Even the fish are like, they're like cowering in a corner.
They're like, will someone clean Jax?
Yes. You know, the fish are like, ugh, I hate having to do this. You know, the Jax always hates when I have to clean him.
So the KK and the Stasi are over at the are having shampers someplace. Oh, Kristen's, yeah.
Yeah, they're Kristen's to celebrate her new teeth.
Yeah, she's like, who's crazy? Like, they took them and now I have new ones.
Great story, seriously? Guys.
So Katie is like telling Kristen and Stassi about how Tom went and got therapy. And she's like, I'm just always the bad guy. And Stassi's like, you know what? Like, to kill a Katie, it's like, you know, he just says like she's just drunk. But I'm sorry. That's like human emotion. And that's how women are.
Like, yeah, like, welcome to dating women.
Oh, I'm like, well, I'm glad I'm gay then.
Yeah, that is not true. You're just horrible human beings again.
Yeah, it is not true because not everyone gets drunk and acts like that. That's Katie. That's Katie. That's how she processes because she is a sad, nasty
Katie
person.
Made those fucking burlap tin wedding invites with like 8 different levels of being invited to her party. She did that sober.
Yeah.
Okay, let's stop blaming alcohol for all of this. Katie's just a horrible human being, okay?
And that is Stassi is right. It is human emotion, and it is bad human emotion. Okay?
Yeah, it's terrible. So Sheena comes over. She's like, I bought some champagne. And she's like, she's how do your teeth feel? Like, every day my teeth literally feel different. Like, I feel like
every
a rich.
Every day is a new experience.
And she goes, the only thing I'll cut open is my mouth. Like, everything else I just, like, inject, okay? Like, my mouth, I'll cut it up open. But, like, that's my rule. I'm like, yeah, it's your rule because you're, like, 28, stupid. I love when younger people are like, I don't believe in facial surgery. Really? Call me in 10 years.
I'm like, have you heard of the concept of a slippery slope? Okay, thanks.
You look like a bouncy house, okay? You believe in plastic surgery. You just haven't been offered free cuts for an Instagram like yet.
Yeah, exactly. So Sheena starts explaining her situation with Lala, and then Katie's like, you know, it's like you can't even be cordial to Lala because then she's just going to exploit that in every possible way. I'm like, how could you think so poorly of someone just to say hi and say, oh yeah, my weekend was good. She's not going to exploit that. Jesus.
Goes,
this isn't like some sort of like horrific situation where there's like a meth addict in your house who's going to like break into your, like if you leave the cupboards unlocked, they're going to break in and steal everything on the black market.
You got a Nancy Reagan, that bitch. Just say no. Because if you're cordial in any capacity, it's like, you are so stupid. So Sheena's like, guys, and she rereads them the text. Well, it basically tells them the story. She's like, yeah, we were trying to do roll-ups. And then she was like, hi. And I was like, whatever. And she goes, have a little faith in me. I'm not a pushover. And Katie's like, yeah, well, you know, if Sheena can continue being this kind of friend that we need her to be, then we can be the best 4 friends ever. But we'll see how long this lasts.
So bitchy. Huh. And then they're being so fake and bitchy all at once to Sheena. They're like, it's like a combination of them saying things like, listen, we're just saying how we feel. It's just like, it just sat strange. It just didn't sit well with us. That's all. We're not attacking. We're just saying it didn't sit well. And Stassi's like, listen, like, I'm like, what I'm about to say, like, it's not meant to be mean. And I know that when people say it's not meant to be mean, it really is mean. But like, seriously, this is not meant to be mean. But like, if you think that we're like coming at you, then that just shows how shitty of a friendship that we really have. But I don't mean it to be mean. And then Katie, and then like, Kristen's like, yeah, like, you know, you're like really super sensitive. And I love that about you. That's what we love about you. We love how sensitive about you. But like, seriously, seriously, get with the program.
And then typical Sheena's like, I didn't know I was coming over to get a tip. Act.
And Stassi's like, no, we're telling you how much we love you. Which, by the way, in Stassi talk means I'm attacking you.
And Sheena goes, it's always 3-on-1.
It was like such a classic example of the mean girls ganging up on, like, I don't want to say like a sweet fawn because that's not what Sheena is, but it was a classic education or lesson and how mean girls can act towards, like,
yes, and
weaker,
what do you win? 2 of these girls don't even work at the damn restaurant the show's about. They don't have jobs. Like, what do you win from this? Who wants to hang out with Stassi and Kristen? Who?
Well, eventually she was like, well, I'm sorry for talking to her. And they're like, yay. And Stassi's like, communication for the win.
So over at Sir, James is pressing play on his MacBook and like dancing around like a Muppet, and some big girls, like some tourist girls, like, yeah. You want a shot? Yeah. I'm like, oh my god, that girl was so sad Amy from Gallery Girls.
It was, yeah, she was very sad Amy.
You wanna come over to a party at my grandma's house? Cause she's like out of town. Upper East Side, bitches.
And James is like, you know, I'll tell Lisa I won't come to work drunk. But then they show like 6 hours earlier, he was like totally getting drunk. He's like, I'm not drunk, I'm just a bit buzzy, that's all. And
she's
then
like,
he
do you want a lemon drop?
How much alcohol is in that? She's like, only a little bit. She's like, he's like, oh, I'm like, isn't a lemon drop all alcohol? Isn't it just like a lemon, like vodka with like sugar around the edge? I don't know.
I'm too butch to really know what's in a lemon drop. Okay. You're talking to a real man here.
I'm like a little too far removed from the year 2000 to remember what a lemon drop is. I'm sorry.
That is so 2000. That's like so September 10th.
That's like
the world changed. Okay.
Yeah, the world changed. Lemon drops and apple teenies were gone forever. No, like lemon drops and apple teenies and Cosmos, that's like very late 90s Sex and the City era, and which is, of course, what Sir is. And I was thinking about that as they were like pouring all these cocktails. Like this brand of a restaurant or a bar that just serves like pumptinis and apple teenies and lemon drops. It really is so antiquated, which I know that like, and yes, I'm being a snob, and I know this is nothing groundbreaking because we always talk about how Sur is like stuck in the 80s, but their cocktail program is definitely like 1997.
Oh, yeah. Well, that whole place is just like drunk college girls and the gays that love them, you know?
Yeah.
And you can pass by, you can see inside, and you see like faux fancy gays. They're like, oh, the Sabin. I'm like, you are at Pump. Listen,
yeah. Like, Sur basically, like, the people who go to Sur are either out-of-town tourists who want to see, you know, reality stars, which is fine. It's, like, faux fancy gays. And it's, like, people from, like, Riverside who think Sur is an actual fancy restaurant and get dressed up and to go there. Yeah. But, you know, the truth is, you know what the cocktail program really needs? It needs, I think, some prime cocktails.
I think I'm going to just try one of each of the prime cocktails.
Hey girl.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
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 I think I'm gonna try just one of each of the prime cocktails. Remember like 2 weeks ago I kept on trying to make a reference to that and I could not get it out of my mouth.
She's like that noise that the operation guy makes when you
I can't believe you'd hit this eye when taking out my rib.
God.
Good. Please be careful with my wishbone.
So Jax is watching. I think it's hilarious that they put James's little pizza oven DJ stand right by Jax's bar. Because there really are so many places you could put that in Sur. There's like five different little rooms. And they're like, no, he has to be right by either the bathroom or Jax's bar at all times. They keep moving it.
So Gigi, the hostess, it's funny. When Gigi first came on the scene, we're like, you know, this girl, Gigi, she's in the opening picture. She gets a little title, like something must be up with her. So finally, Gigi has her moment and she just sort of comes over and she's like, yeah, I'm like nervous to work on Wednesdays because of James. And like, you know, he gets like really drunk. And like, you know, like back in April, we hooked up and like I didn't know he had a girlfriend and he didn't tell me. And then when I found out, I stopped. And now he just keeps on calling me a whore. So she tells this to Jax, and Jax is like, why would you tell me? I have the biggest mouth. And she's like, yeah, I know.
That's why. She goes, yeah, I really want everybody to know the truth. I'm like, okay, Gigi, thanks for the public service you just did the whole world.
I know.
Poor Gigi. So, look, I mean, Gigi's a cute girl and everything, but comparatively, I mean, that's a girl. They're like, we need a hostess to actually work that isn't going to be worried about being on camera. Just get the not as cute one. Put her over there behind that wall and just leave her there. And she's like, oh, really? Well, I fucked James. I'm like, oh, God. Here we go.
What I love is Jax is like, you know, like this place used to be so fun to work at. And ever since James came around, like everyone's like crying and angry. I just want to go back to the way it used to be. And then, I mean, these producers are so genius. They cut back to season one with Laura Lee. I think her name was Laura Lee. Laura Lee.
It sounds right to me.
I always call her Laura Lee, but I think it's something else.
It's like,
but,
yeah, well, you just fucked me without protection. And then
you just cut to her, and she's like, I thought you put it in me without protection, and I got your diseases. I got an STD for you in front of like other customers. And Jax is like, uh huh. I was like,
also,
so brilliant.
Oh my God, Jax has really, really gone through some changes. I mean, Jax has gone through the change, basically. Yeah. He looked so different a few years ago. Also, I have to mention at this part, Brittany's up at the bar too. She's like, hi, JX. Look, I wrote the wines down on the separate side of the paper.
Yes.
Just so you could help me figure them out. And he's like, oh, God, you're stupid. She's like, what smells in here? Is that your shirt? And then Gigi comes up and she's like, hey, Brittany, I just sat table 61. And she goes, huh? She goes, the big one with lots of chairs. She goes, ow.
As her dress rips open.
Brittany still doesn't even know the damn table numbers.
She's like, I only counted up to 25.
So
Lala then goes up to James and is like, hey, so I heard you and Gigi had sex. And he's like, no, we never did. We never did. I wouldn't fuck Gigi with a 10-foot pole, okay? I wouldn't do that. Like, I'm here driving around in Aston Martin. You think I'm going to go jump in this Honda Civic for a quick joyride? I'm like, yeah, you would if you need to get someplace. I'm like, it doesn't count as an Aston Martin if it's at the car show, okay? You still need to get the Honda Civic back home.
It's like, I'm on this perfectly good subway. Why would I take the Orange Line home? So Lala's like, Jax is like, yeah, what'd you fuck Gigi whatever from the bar? And Lala goes, I'm not talking to you. And he goes, yeah, well, no one's talking to you either. She goes, you're literally talking to me right now. And Jax goes, oh yeah, go fuck someone with a Range Rover. Or no, go fuck someone for a Range Rover. And she's like, whatever, yeah. I'm out. Bye.
Well, so, I think at this is at this point, because I think Jax started yelling because he's like, stop cursing over it. He's like, could you keep your cursing down? And then that's when he says that stuff about the Range Rover. And then that's when James is like, listen, I'm a rock star and you're a bartender, Jax, old Jaxy boy.
Yeah, he goes, why would someone your age care? And he's like, yeah. What does that mean, man? Yeah. He goes, I'm a DJ. And he goes, anyone can press play on a laptop. That's just not even hooked up to anything.
But I love that when he says anyone can press play on a laptop, you idiot. James goes, in Vegas? In Vegas? I'm like, yeah, even in Vegas. Just because you like press play on your laptop at the MGM buffet does not mean that you were Calvin Harris, to quote the paraphrase, a line from Lisa Vanderpump.
From the Lisa. So the Toms are having a talk, yeah. And
like, let's be boring over here for a second.
Yeah, he's like, whoa, bro, like, I've got like a perfect bleach spot going down the middle of my French. Why don't we talk about that? So I did like that Tom comes over to work and he's like, hey, bro. He's like, hey, bro, good to see you. I'm not sure about that man bun. He's like, it's not a man bun, bro.
It's my takeaway from Fat Sal's. I just keep it up there.
It's my to-go pepperoni French fried chicken finger sandwich, man.
So they're talking, and Schwartz is like saying, he's like, yeah, I think I want Ariana to be like my groomsman. And it's funny because, you know, Schwartz is like, you know, like, Katie didn't want Ariana to be, you know, a bridesmaid. And they show this, like, they cut this like random flashback of like Tom telling Katie, like, yeah, I was thinking about Ariana. And Katie's like, well, it's just sort of weird because like Katie is like friends with Ariana now. And I'm like, I mean, Ariana is like friends with Lala right now. And I'm not really like talking to that. And it's just, it makes sense. And the flashback just like cuts her off, like in the middle of her whining. They like, and she's like, they don't even like let her finish. They're like, so et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, from Katie.
Tom is such an ass. He's like,
that is, yeah, an asshole.
Well, I'm going to ask Ariana to be my groomsman. I'm just going to avoid telling Katie.
By the way, as much as I think Katie is like a total bitch and an evil girl, I think it's really disrespectful for Tom to ask Ariana to be his groomsman, because Katie does not love Ariana. It's like a big fuck you to Katie. I think it's like a really shitty thing for him to do. As much as Katie is someone who treats Tom poorly, this is a shitty move.
Yeah, but he's just always fucking with her. It's hilarious. Yeah. Like, he likes to get beat. I'm telling you. He's not going to tell her. Then he's going to tell everybody else. And so she's going to eventually hear and have a fit and be like, I can't trust you. Like, with iceberg and blue cheese hanging out her mouth. And he's going to be like, LOL.
So anyway, so then meanwhile, James goes up to Gigi and he's like, listen, we never hooked up. I wouldn't hook up with you. And then he goes, you're being unacceptable and very rude. Yeah. Good one, James. You really shook her to her core with that.
And she was so ready. She's like, you're a psychopath. You're a drunk and you've got no talent. And they're screaming.
And then out of nowhere, Diana's like, stop it. Stop. Stop. Shush. None. I love when Diana just like swoops in like from the rafter that she's hiding out in and just like, it's like, stop it. Stop it. Stop
and Gigi knows just what to say. She's like, he's drunk. Which she knows is like the final nail. And Lala's like, I don't care if they fucked or not. Just like, thank God the rumors aren't about me getting peed on a Saudi yacht. You know what I mean?
So then Lisa comes in And Lisa's like, what's going on? And James is like, it's petty. I think at this point, this is when Lisa calls James into the side area. You know, Lisa always has a different area where she holds court. Like, I there's so many nooks and crannies in this restaurant. She's like, all right, let's go over to this table here in the side corner.
Yeah. I'll be tweeting next to the garden party.
Yeah. So James is like, it's petty drama that these bitches. And Lisa's like, don't talk like that. I'm like, just say you're fired. Like, the fact that he even was saying that he's talking to his boss and being like, these bitches, is so, like, it's so out of line. And she's like, oh, darling, don't talk like that.
Yeah, and he's drunk, so he's mad at Lisa now. He's like, why? Why, Lisa? They're thirsty, thirsty girls that need a drink, and I cannot produce water for them. I'm like, you are a busboy.
He is, like, the biggest theater queen that we've ever seen.
Your
like, everything
job
he says,
is literally
like,
to bring water.
I played Beyonce and got a girlfriend. They're thirsty, thirsty little girls. You're unacceptable and rude. I mean, he's just one foppish theater queen. Let's be honest.
He is. He's trying to convince everybody his dick works around vaginas. And then he's quoting NeNe Leakes.
Like, yeah.
Girl.
And then Lisa's like, James, you're turning into a drunk asshole. And he's like, all right, Lisa, you're obviously feeding into what everyone else is telling you. And I don't appreciate that. I'm like, she's your boss. It's not up to you to appreciate anything she says. Like, I cannot even believe he's saying these things to her. And I can't believe that she doesn't fire him right there on the spot. But instead she's just like,
she pulls out the classic Vanderpump at this point. She's like, we've invested so much into this kid, and look how he repays the generosity of me and Ken. It's like the... It's like the Lisa Vanderpump victim speech, you know?
Do you know what we've done for you?
I actually think the reason why she didn't fire him then and there is I think she was actually a little bit scared. I think she, like, didn't know what sort of reaction he would have because he was drunk, and she didn't know if he was going to become violent. I feel like I saw a little bit of fear in her eyes, and she just was like, let me just get him to calm down, and then we will take care of it. So she basically was like, all right, go back to the DJ booth and play your little discs and shut up. And I love that he spends, like, episode after episode being like, I'm a rock star, I'm a DJ, sir. And even Lisa's like, it doesn't mean anything. Like, you're basically, like, a human iPod right now.
Well, also remember that she has Max, and Max used to have major drug issues and behavioral issues. So I think this is, like, now that Max has kind of cleaned it up, she's like, oh, I need someone to hold something over their head. Remember when I bought you the little disc changer thing? How could you do this to me again, darling?
So then we had, like, a whatever scene where, like, Ariana had to eat Tom's ass steak, and she's like, oh, this is totally rad. Like, I'm just, like, one of the guys now. Like, this is cool. Like, I'm so excited to wear a suit, like, because I take sketch comedy really seriously, and I'm, like, a dude now, so, like, I'm chill. Like, that's what I am, whatever.
She's like, this is the coolest thing that's ever happened to me other than starting my purse hook business.
This is like the coolest thing ever since I had a birthday party that was made for like little girls. Cause isn't that like clever and ironic? Sketch comedy, hilarious.
Oh my God. Okay. So what was next.
So now I can tell you what was next. So now it's like later at night. It's like 11:30. James is wrapping up, about to go home. Tom is finishing up. And James is, like, drunk, and he's like, Tom, you're an MVP. You're, like, most – or maybe James was saying he was an MVP. Either way, he kept on saying, like, most valuable player. And Tom was just like, hey, man, I just want you to keep your job. So, like, stop drinking on the job. Anyway, here's a shot.
And then you see Lisa from behind the bars. Like, yeah, there's, like, outdoor bars. I don't know what you call it. Like, security. It's like a security gate, basically.
And this was, like, a moment, like, you can, like, sometimes it's, like, Lisa shows up and the producer's like, okay, Lisa, now you enter and watch and talk, whatever. This is a moment where it was, like, literally, like, Lisa was not supposed to be there. Lisa was, like, going in to get, like, a bag.
And yeah, like, she forgot a fake pink fur jacket or something on it.
Yeah, she was with Ken, and Ken wasn't even mic'd up yet. Like, it was he had come probably just to pick, like, to pick her up or something. And she sees him take the shot. And she has this, like, weird disciplinary action. She's like, go back to your DJ stand right now. Go back to your DJ stand.
Back to your booth.
And I'm like, well, he was done for the night. And I don't know, but
And then we hear the flesh Roomba behind her, Ken. He's like, really, that's not good for the restaurant, is it, James?
Well, he was mad because then James is getting really – James goes through a nice roller coaster of emotions. So he starts off super petulant. He's like, what is the issue? What is the issue? Which, again, crazy. These are your bosses that he's saying it to. And now
– and I love that he's only afraid of Ken. Lisa's going, you see, Ken? You see? You see how he's talking to me? He's like,
really? I didn't know you were talking like that to Lisa.
Ken turns into like – Ken turns into like Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels angry. He suddenly gets all cocky. He's like, I told you not to come here drunk. And what you do? You came here drunk. And Ken is like now snapping at James. And he's like, James starts to just cry. He's like, I said sorry. I won't do it again. Please. Ken's getting mad. Lisa, stop. He's going to get mad at me, Lisa. Please.
She's like, you see, Ken? You see what he's like? And he's like, Lisa, stop it, Lisa.
I love that James is such a little pussy boy. Every time he's confronted, he screams, acts out, and then sobs. Every single time.
He's sobbing. And then... He then turns to Ken, even though he's sobbing, like, he's mad at me. I can't deal with this fucking bullshit. What? And then that's when Ken is like, oh, you little fucker, I'll knock your spark out.
And Lisa goes, what's happened to the wonderful little boy we knew 3 years ago? Like he was never. Ooh, what? Do you have a TV at your house? I know you want TV a lot, but do you bother even watching the shit you're filming?
Yeah. I mean, James was never a sweet young boy. His first episode was him like getting into a fight with Tom and being like, I'll have a BMW. You see my BMW? Look at my BMW. Isn't Mixology 101 great? BMW.
Where is the little boy I carry?
I'm right here, Lisa. Why can't you see Lisa?
So the next day he goes over to Lisa's house and the original Max is there and he's like, all right, then I think I'll get going then. Good luck. So he leaves and James takes the sun spot and he sits there and he's like, well, hello, Lisa. And she's like, listen, I think what I've got to do.
Before you say what Lisa said, James is doing his thing that he always does, which is being like, so charming and British. He's like, oh, it's a beautiful setup out here. It's gorgeous. What a lovely garden. Oh, is there a paddock I see there? What a lovely day. Oh, scrumptious, beautiful.
It doesn't smell like donkey shit at all out here, Lisa. Thank you for having me over to your lovely home.
You look beautiful today, Miss Vanderpump.
Why are there flies all over my face? It's like a petting zoo in that place. So she basically...
Yeah, I was going to say just that Lisa is sitting there looking absolutely gorgeous. It's like the perfect lighting, these flowers all around her. So you know she's about to do something real cruel.
Yeah, she's got that entire house is just built for her to shoot in, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So she's looking good. And she's like, you've become a drunk asshole. Basically, you're fired and you're not coming in either. Not to Sir, not to Pump. Not to any of the places in between. If you even go into the Chi Chi LaRue dildo store, I'll know about it, James.
Meanwhile, cut to like 2 episodes from now. Like, well, we're so busy and we need music and just... I didn't want to bring him back, but I had to. You know, it's so hard to find a good DJ these days.
We thought James's job was so easy, but we've listened to Lemonade 5 times in a row.
Lala can't stop emceeing, and it's quite a distraction.
No one knows where their lost keys are at without James at the helm.
Ariana took over the DJ booth, and all we're listening to is sad emo music and childhood songs.
Edie Brickell and the new Bohemians, darling. I can only take so much.
I don't care what you are. I've heard it enough, Edie.
I'm a bitch. I'm a lover. I'm a saint. Enough already, darling. Can we get back to Jay-Z then?
I mean, how much Meredith Bainbridge does one have to listen to?
Not one song that Ariana's played features a woman that shaves her underarms, darling.
I mean, if I have to hear the greatest hits from Lilith Fair 1996 one more time, I'm going to stick my throat with smoked salmon.
Well, you know what I call them? Lilith Unfair, Lisa. That's Lilith Unfair.
What about me, James Kennedy? Why can't I DJ at Little Fair back in 1996? Why not me?
James, when he gets fired, he goes, yeah, but Lisa, being indefinitely fired forever, that sounds crazy. And then when he goes, on one hand, Jax is a wanker and Gigi is a whore. On the other, I let them get to me out of their jealousy. And then he starts sobbing and she's like, why'd you act like that? You're always drunk. And he's like, I don't know how to control it, Lisa. And she goes, well, you shouldn't have another drink in your life. That's who you are. And then he's like sitting there crying. And then she goes, go.
Just be careful of Hanky and Panky in the front. They don't like unemployed people.
Oh, what a beautiful,
great episode.
Beautiful episode of Vanderpoop Rules.
We had fighting. We had belligerence. We had catty girl shit. It was so good.
So good. So now, because we did a long-ass deep dive on there, let's just touch on Real Housewives of Atlanta and Below Deck a little bit, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
What would you like to do first?
Let's start with Atlanta, and then after Atlanta, we'll just catch people up with what happened Below Deck last week.
All right.
What?
So Real Housewives of Atlanta, we're not going to do a full recap, partly because no one needs another 5 hours of this, and also because it was a very Cynthia-heavy episode, which means
it was.
We don't really have much to say. I mean, Cynthia.
Yeah. I mean, it was shocking because the show opened up with Cynthia and Noelle playing tennis. I'm like, this is strange to see them not huddled over the kitchen island. Like, is this possible? Is it possible that they're able to shoot outside of the kitchen island? It seems strange. Very strange. I don't know how to deal with it.
Her thing is, she's like, my sunglasses line is insanely successful. Like, is it?
There's one in every Shell station in the greater Georgia area, or greater Atlanta area.
We really took off when we started giving packs of Big League chewing gum away with the purchase of my $5 glasses.
You can now get my sunglasses in certain boxes of Cheerios, which is very exciting. And because of that, I now have an opportunity. You notice that she can't say opportunity. She's like, I've got an opportunity to sell some bags at a fashion bazaar in LA. So she has this new line of bags called Cargo.
That's already a brand, isn't it?
I don't know. I have no idea. Cynthia Bailey presents bags. So the whole thing is that she's going to go to LA because she loves LA and Leon's in LA. And then also Noelle wants to go to college in LA. And by the way, she has now made Noelle the face of Cargo. So they wind up going to Los Angeles.
Congratulations. It's like the new guy on the stamp. It's like, you're the new face on the stamp of Cargo, darling. Cargo, I feel like this has already been done, Cargo. I need to Google it, but I'm really tired. I'm exhausted, darling.
Well, I think it's also not a great brand name because there's like Cargo shorts and Cargo this, Cargo that. Like when you Google it, you're just going to get results for other things like Gap. But what do I know? Either way, so they go to LA and Noelle gets all glammed up and everything. And Cynthia's feeling like a proud mom because, you know, Noelle is so sweet and lovely. And they go to like this event, this fashion bazaar, where there's like 30 people who show up. I mean, it looked like there were like a lot of other things that were going on there. But Cynthia's acting as if it was like freaking Milan, you know. And, you know, there's like 20 people there, some local news. And Cynthia is like, well, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. And Noelle's like sitting down. She's like, my feet hurt. And basically the point is like really, really
like,
uninteresting.
Literally nothing happened. Well, Cynthia had a scene with Leon where she's like, wah, my marriage, wah. And he's like, okay, the end. I just love that when she was crying the whole time about Peter, there's someone at another table. There's like tourists and they're like, oh my God, is that Cynthia? And they're just watching her sob. And she's trying to be serious. And whenever they showed Leon, they just showed these girls literally like hanging off the back of the booth. Like, oh my God.
I didn't notice that.
The boring one from that Bravo thing.
I didn't notice that probably because I was half asleep. But what I did love was that, you know, Leon finally is able to say what he really thinks. She's like, well, you know, I did think your marriage was kind of rushed, a.k.a. you probably should have thought this through. And so then Cindy starts bawling and she starts saying, I'm just terrified that after this divorce, Peter and I won't ever be friends or see each other ever again. I'm like, And why is that terrifying? That should be the most glorious thought of your entire life.
No kidding. Now start a real savings account already. Jesus.
I think why she was really crying was because she basically said, yeah, I moved to Atlanta and I gave up everything. I gave up my modeling career, everything for Peter and for what, you know? And I would cry about that too.
I'm sure she moved to Atlanta to be on Real Housewives and now she actually is a star, which she wasn't before, yeah. No matter what she tries to tell me. So congratulations, you made the right choice and you got rid of Peter. Am I supposed to cry for you? I'm not going to. And Cynthia is so lame that even when she's crying so hard that she pulls off her eyelashes. I mean, that's one of my favorite moments of How to Get Away with Murder ever. When she's just like sobbing and she takes off her wig and her eyelashes. And all I could think of was, don't ruin How to Get Away with Murder for me, Cynthia. You don't hold a candle. Please leave the restaurant. Take your to-goes with you.
I believe Cynthia's show would be called How to Get Away with Boring. And I'm not even sure she does get away with it.
It would just be How to Get. It would be like too tired to even make the end of the title.
How to get away with having a really shitty marriage when you could have been with hot, wonderful Leon. Leon probably cheated on her. Let's be honest. I mean, we always talk about how wonderful Leon is. He probably cheated on her. Okay, we get it.
Well, who knows? I mean, I don't know enough about Leon. I like that he said, he's like, I couldn't even stay at the wedding because I was there to celebrate happiness, not stress. I was like, shut up, Leon.
It's like, also dinosaurs.
Also because they kicked you out because your free loner at the dinosaur museum was over after like an hour.
Also because you're probably bored out of your mind.
This wedding is really negative. I think I'll go to a movie instead. Bye, everybody. Good to see you. Who does that?
So meanwhile, we in Sheree's world, it was more Sheree Bob stuff. You know, Sheree was hanging out with her kids, including her hot son Cairo, in the condo, and she's like, "We got a chateau soon. Chateau soon. We're gonna move to the chateau soon. It's gonna be soon."
So she had a date with Bob, because yeah. Bob is still sweating yeah. around the house, and she's like, "This is where we're eating dinner. You told me dinner, so I you got this." And she's like dressed to the nines and he's in sweats yeah. at this They're like vegan, this vegan place yeah. in the strip mall.
It's like basically like the veggie grill. She's like, and I love how Sheree's like, if you're trying to woo me, I like seafood. I like seafood.
Seawood.
Seawood.
I want to be seawood.
Actually, what I really loved is when they sit down, because she's all dressed up and he's in a t-shirt, as you mentioned. And she's like, you have to tell me when we're going to the cafeteria.
So she's basically like, you want to come back, but you've never even apologized. And he's like, sorry. She's like, yeah. Oh, thank you, Bob. Thank you, Bob.
Well,
Bob,
thank you, Bob. Yeah, I actually liked the scene because she was like, stop joking. So he had to like, stop joking. And you could see he was like, he wanted to crack a joke so badly so many times, but he like, you know, he gave his apology. And finally, after he apologized, he's like, great, I can get back to joking. Hey, you got glitter on your boobs. And then we just like get a extreme close-up of Sheree's breasts.
And glitter they were.
Glittered.
So let's see. I guess the main thing here was a laser tag thing because
yeah.
I don't know what is going on. I think at the beginning of the season they had a production meeting and they're like, we cannot afford so much food. Because yes. This cast actually eats at the restaurants. Like the rest of the Real Housewives cast, they borrow the restaurant for 4 hours, but they don't even spend any damn money, you know. They just, like, drink some water. Like, no one eats. This show, they eat. I think they're like, we don't have the budget anymore. So let's just have them play laser tag or something.
Yeah. So they go to laser tag, which, it's funny. I went to laser tag about 2 years ago. And I, like, all those kids just kept on destroying me. And my only way to get like a high tally, because you know when you do laser tag you get points, right? And at the end you look at the board and you see how many points you got. There was like this like 4-year-old girl in there who had no idea what she was doing, and I would find her and I would just keep shooting her like arms and whatever.
That's terrible.
Well, it wasn't like I was actually shooting her, but it was like the only way I could get points.
That is terrible. Well, this one, I think to win you really have to play like Sheree, where you just follow Kenya the whole time. That's yes. all she did. She just chased Kenya the entire time and kept shooting her.
I liked when Phaedra said when the person working at laser tag is like, do you guys want to do all for one or teams? And Phaedra's like, yeah, there'll be two teams, black men and police.
Oh my god, awkward.
That was
even
weird.
To them, it was awkward. So after they go to eat, and Phaedra's like, well, I brought you all here because this place is special to me. It's where I had my child's birthday party. And Candy's rolling her eyes like, oh, Jesus. And she goes, I brought you here because I want to have a camp. And Candy's like, like her face is like,
camp. Now, by the way, we should mention that before laser tag, Phaedra had met with Kenya and talked about like wanting Ken to do something for this camp. And Kenya's like, oh yeah, I'm going to teach table manners and like how to act like a lady. I was like, okay, good luck with that.
Does she even have a table in her house? I think she only has a counter with a stool.
I think so. But then Kenya also said they were talking about Sheree during that lunch, and Kenya was like, you know what? Sheree can take several seats if she actually had any furniture in her empty house.
So let me see here. Phaedra's camp. I don't know why I find this funny. But Phaedra's camp, she's like, I want to do it for the people of Michigan for water. Because their water crisis or whatever. I'm like, this is the most awkward camp ever. Come to the clean water camp. She's like, we're going to bring Brita's to Flint or whatever. She goes, and to celebrate, I want all of us to have little pop-up shops to sell our wares for the children who are poisoned with water. Kenya, you can sell. She started naming all their products, and then it gets to Candy, and she's like, Candy, you can bring your candy-coated love over. And Portia goes, we're going to be giving dicks to the children. Okay.
My goodness. So
it's like you're bringing gigantic dildos to children who had trouble swallowing their water. Awkward.
So, of course, the stupid Kenya Sheree fight about their houses comes back. And when as they're rehashing it, Sheree says, well, you know, Kenya ran out of the escape room place. And Kenya's like, excuse me, I walked. And so Sheree's like, okay, you power walked out of the place. I just love the image of Kenya power walking out of an argument.
Then they went on this, like, circular fight where they're just like, nah, 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 at each other. And everybody's just eating and watching them and rolling their eyes, so bored that they have to listen to this again. And Candy is just chowing down on her food. It's hilarious. Yes. And Candy goes, she goes, I'm hungry. And Candy goes, we're trying to talk, Candy.
Yeah. And then it just goes on and on for so long that the producers are just playing jazz in the background. Like, they're not taking it seriously. It's like, doo, doo, doo. It's basically the Real Houses of New York City bassoon music. Like, doo, 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 doo.
And Candy gets mad at Candy for eating, and Candy goes, well, yes, I eat because it makes me feel better. Like, oh my God, it's like the theme of the week. God and binge eating to avoid conflict.
Yeah. I mean, and then it just goes on and on and on. And eventually Kenya calls Sheree's wig a Mama Joyce wig, which is exactly what you've been saying. And that's when Candy like perks up from her like pudding, and she like looks up and is like, see, nah, man, doesn't talk about my mama. Don't bring my mom's wig into it because see, now she got that wig.
And her mouth is full. She's like, oh, hell no. I was like, oh, yes, girl, like Sophia coming out now. And both shows on this Sunday, Married to Medicine and Real Housewives of Atlanta, quoted The Color Purple, which I thought was hilarious. What was the one in this one that they started talking about Color Purple? Do you remember?
No, I never saw the movie. I've only read the book. Color. And I read the book like 20 years ago. So this is like the third time in a row that like someone's made a reference. I was like, uh-huh. And they're like, that's from Color Purple, Ben. I'm like,
oh, Joyce said it because they were talking about Block. Because Candy's like, how dare you? You don't want to chase my child. You should chase her. And Joyce goes, she's like, yeah, you be a little like silly now. You say, what you done to me ought to been done to you. Please let Mama Joyce perform in The Color Purple to see. I would die.
The Color Purple is closing, and I'm sad because Cynthia Erivo is supposed to be amazing in it. And I when I heard it was closing like a month ago, I was like, ooh, when I go to New York for Thanksgiving, I'm going to get tickets and see The Color Purple. And I totally forgot. And now I'm
got
curious.
My children. I got my mama too. That's Fantasia's version of Color Purple.
The woman's dad. The woman's dad.
And then Frasier. What if Frasier's brother was in The Color Purple? He's like, well, what you've done to me has already been done to you.
Well, the show will live on in our hearts and our resumes.
He's like, you show is ugly, Frasier.
Anyway, so yeah, so basically they just were like, but I like this Kenya and Sheree thing was going on and on and on and on and on. Like they're doing like a dissolve cuts and everything to show how much time is passing. And finally Phaedra's like, okay, let's be quiet now. Can I count on you guys to not fight at my event? And they're like, oh yeah, yeah, no, that's fine.
Yeah, Sheree's like, oh yeah, I don't even care about her house. I would be glad to be there. And Kenya's like, I will be honored to just do whatever you want. They're like, okay, great. Check, please. Yeah. Candy's like putting everything in it to go.
Yeah. So the last thing that happens is more Candy and Block stuff. And in the beginning of the episode, Candy was talking to Mama Joyce, who was struggling with an electronic can opener to open up some canned chicken breast. And you know, Candy back then in the beginning of the episode was saying how, like, she's been really civil to Block. You know, like he goes on the radio and says this and says that. And it's like it's everything that she can do within her power not to call up and be like, Block, you know, you're a deadbeat dad. You have money. You could be doing this and that and that. But she doesn't do it because she's trying to take the higher road because of Ronnie and all that. But she's like, but now I'm not going to do that anymore. And I'm like, yes, Candy. Yes. I'm like clapping here.
I hear him on the radio. And he's like, million dollar bills. And I don't call. I'm like, LOL, $1 million bills. Oh, Block. Yeah.
Well, you know, the funny thing is that Block, you know, the producers probably came to Block and was like, hey, you should come on the show. Da, da, da. And they probably said, it'll be good. You can really repair your image. I'm like, there's nothing about this. That's Block is like, there are millions of people who never knew who Block was. And now they know. And they think he's the biggest asshole because everyone loves Candy. And it only makes Candy look better and better and better because now she is like a mom fighting for her daughter against this deadbeat. And it's like, it makes me just like love Candy. Like, I mean, I've always loved Candy, but now I like love Candy.
She's
and
really dealing with it well. She's not getting broken down.
So good.
And I love when she's talking to, he calls her when she's in the car with Joyce and he's like, Candy, blah, blah, blah. Like he's just as rude as possible.
Yes.
You know,
she wants to co-parent now.
She tries to stay nice, but then she finally loses it and she's crying and she's like, he's like, I'm going to chase you. She's like, you're so Jamie. You know, she starts her whole Candy cry and then he goes, he's like, hey, Mama Joyce. And she's like, hey, Block. He's like, how you doing? And she's like, how about that $50, Block? She starts screaming about $50,000.
Yeah, and Kenya's like, okay.
I love Mama Joy. She is so crazy.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, after Block, I mean, I understand why she was critical of Todd because she had to deal with Block, but I also feel like because of Block, she should be much nicer to Todd, which she is now, because it's like, thank God he's not Block. But like, Block, you know, it is obnoxious that he calls up and he wants a co-parent, probably because the cameras are on him. And of course, Candy has heard this all before. And Candy has a great response, which is like, you know, she's 14 years old now. It's not about co-parenting. It's like, she's like, see, why don't you go rally on your own? And why don't you start to communicate and build a relationship with her?
And he's like, yeah, but you don't call me back. She's like, well, what do you want me to do about it? Just call, keep calling her. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, exactly. And then but I love when Candy starts to really, you know, when she is feeling it, like she's like angry and she's getting all emotional and she starts doing like sort of like a Julia Sugarbaker light sort of thing to him. I am like, feel my heart's like beating and she's like, see, nah, if you've been doing what you're supposed to be doing, you shouldn't have to chase nobody. If you've been doing what you're supposed to be doing, you would have had communication with me and Riley.
He's
of course,
she
said it much more dramatic than I did, but you know,
that
I was like, yes,
total,
Candy, yes,
that guy's
yes.
A total piece of shit. Like, I have nothing to say to him. I would have just hung up on him. Just every time he calls, just put Mama Joyce on the phone. She'll be like, hello, $50,000? Like, every time. Just have that be your fight.
Yeah, I agree. So that was essentially Atlanta. And do we want to just let's touch on a little bit about what happened with Below Deck last week during our Thanksgiving hiatus.
Yeah, we'll do a big recap of the next Below Deck episode that comes out. Yeah. I watched this one last night. This was the end of Dean. Speaking of pieces of shit, what an asshole that guy is.
He is just the worst. I mean, I'm glad he brought a track to be on, but yeah, he is.
But they're the worst too. Like, what's the point of working out that much and being that adorable if you're just going to be some basic hoe for some old munchkin? Like, why?
Why do you think they do it? I mean, they're insecure. That's what I tell myself. You know, I mean, Dean, this is all Dean's fault anyway, because they had a plan and Dean's like, homie, don't play that. I'm not going to take this taxi
again. First of all, that is from In Living Color. Could you please not quote In Living Color, especially to children who don't know what you're talking about? And they don't even know that that's a Wayne's joke. And they're like, Dean, who's homie? Yeah.
So there's this, you know, so now, you know, Captain Lee has to go take his little dinghy out to get Dean, and Dean's waiting forever. He's like, gosh, we're stranded out here, taking forever. I'm like, well, that's because you changed the entire plan at the last minute, you asshat.
Yeah.
Go sit and marinate in that ocean and enjoy it. You're in paradise.
The first 20, actually the entire episode was just the captain going, God damn it. Bunch of idiots. Dragging your dick through glass. Bunch of damn fools. Make a ride on red stupid mother trucking fool faces. So mad.
God damn it. If you're going to go on an island, you got to do it right. You don't want to mess it up. And, you know, I don't want to see a goddamn dirty window on this goddamn yacht on the goddamn island around and goddamn dinghy one more time.
That was basically it. So, Kelly, I like that Nico took the keys. And the editors were very careful to show us, even with subtitles, Kelly saying, okay, here's the keys to the tender, whatever. Then Nico leaves, and then when they separated, Nico knew he had those damn keys. He's acting like somebody planted the keys on them.
No, because
he's like, this is all Kelly's fault. No, it's not. You knew you had the keys. You put them in your damn pocket, fool.
No, but do you remember they Kelly said the keys are on the top of, or inside one of these coolers, right? And that cooler was like on the little taxi. And then right before Kelly was about to leave, he swapped coolers with Nico. And so they forgot that the keys that they did the swap with, he then was left with Nico.
So I'm the fool. I take it back. I take it back. I was so mad at Nico this whole episode. I was like, that's your fault too. Never mind. Well, I take it back.
I loved how so everyone's like, okay, this is it. Kelly's going to get fired or something. It just seems like everything's going to go down. And then like Captain Lee calls him. He's like, all right, this is what we're going to do. You obviously are overwhelmed. So we're going to take away some goddamn authority from you and give it to goddamn Nico and make him the goddamn chief senior deckhand. It's like, oh, okay.
For one charter.
Okay. Yeah. For like one charter. It was like kind of like a big nothing. And then Lauren starts going around telling everyone, like, did you hear? Did you hear? Nico is the new captain of the boat. He's the new captain. Did you hear? Nico owns the yacht now.
Nico is now the president of Angola. Anyone? should we get him a cake?
she's become so annoying.
She's such an ass. When Ashley, his girlfriend, comes on the boat, and Lauren's like, I think it's the first time I've ever met a transgender. I'm like, You got a mirror when you shopping at Dillard's. it's not going to be that shocking, okay?
Well, I loved when Ashley came on board, and my dad was in the room at this part, and he laughed at this too. When Rabbit was like, oh, you know, Ashley, she's very typical Manchester, you know, lot of hair, lot of makeup, a lot of nails. I mean, perfectly lovely, but like, you know, a lot of.
I love. I was laughing.
By the way, that's totally me. I'm the one who does that all the time on this podcast. Like, they just seem like such a huge annoying bitch. I mean, I love her. She's so great, but such an annoying bitch.
He's like, oh, Ashley, oh, Ashley. She's like, oh, uncle, look out.
I thought my mother's met car. I fall over in a ditch, and he came over and says, can I help you up? And can I get a drink with you? And no man's ever asked me for a drink before. And I thought, oh, this is the one. He's the one.
He's the one. It was even better than that. She's like, in Manchester, it's good out. Super guy, super hat, super hat, super hat. The boss, super art, above art, the guys will get a close line by the batter, proper cared. And I was like, oh, it's him. He's got blood coming down his face. That's for my number. What? So wait, let me get this straight. You at some bar, you're watching the bouncer beat the shit out of some guy who turns around with a bloody face and buys you a drink, and that's the one. So that's it. He's the one. He's the one. And then he goes, because Kate's asking her how they met, and she goes,
I got this head, Kate. I'm good at that. And Kate goes, I can tell.
Kate was especially prickly this episode, which I loved. I love prickly Kate. I'm so sad it took so long for her to be this prickly. But Kate was getting really annoyed because the stupid giant bouquet for Rabbit was getting in everyone's way and was like in the fridge. And she's like, I'm sorry, this can't be in the fridge. I mean, this is a workspace. It's not your personal floral arrangement space. Whatever she said.
I poked myself. I like that she's just saying like, we need to move the flowers because it pokes me when I'm trying to find fresh cheese. And they're making it sound like she just said every cuss word in the book, threatened to fire everybody, and started the boat on fire.
Yeah.
What did she do? Everyone's like, fuck Kate. She's like, well, I would like some fresh cheese. They're like, what a bitch. They're ready to kill Kate.
Yeah. They, especially Nico. Nico's always like, you know, she's such a bitch. I don't know why I gave Nico a British accent, but it's just where my mind's at.
It would have
right
made
now.
Him more interesting, that's for sure. He's so annoying. So
Dean, he's like Kelly comes over to Dean and is like, you know, has his hangdog expression, which is like his most adorable expression. And he's like, I'm really sorry, Dean. And Dean's like, well, you know, I always like to do something interesting. So I'd appreciate it if you like sang a song and then I'd accept your apology. And then they show this montage of all the silly things that Dean makes people do. Like, hey, I want a costume contest. I want a diving contest on the yacht. And I'm like, you know what? This montage doesn't make me think that Dean is this happy-go-lucky, hilarious guy. It makes me think you're an asshole who loves to abuse the help.
Yeah, he just wants to torture people so he can be like, ah, rich I am. And then when he says that, he's like, I think I need an apology number. And the little queen with him, like his little homely young person queen, is like, ah, Dean, cheers. I was like, you're poor. It's not like you're not even rich.
You're poor.
You're not even rich, obviously, because you're banging some old leprechaun, okay? You're poor, too, and you're using someone else's money to... Oh, fuck you.
Yeah,
fuck
seriously.
All those guys. I'm so glad they're gone. Get out. But he did give him a good tip.
He did, which was nice. He's like, it's worth it if you get the good tip. Unlike Paralyzed Liza, here you get $12 each. Paralyzed.
Both were horrifying in their own ways, but yeah, at least they made money from Dean.
Yeah. So there's trouble in the land of Emily and Ben because now Emily is like. I'm trying to remember what was her issue because basically she feels
she's just sick of him and Kate fighting all the time, and then Brent they both drag her in the middle. You know, Kate's like being mean to her now, and Ben is like,
"Wow, okay, there's Kate being a bitch again. What a shocker I am."
I love that you start to do a Kyle thing. You're like, "Oh," you're like, "Wait, no, never mind."
Oh, well, I have to reach my fingers to my nose to hold my nose closed, darling.
Yeah. And he's like, darling, hey, Robert, do you want to go out to one last dinner together alone where we can discuss dill and the appropriate uses and disuses for it? And she's like, oh, daddy, I think that we should hang out with the group then. How about a group? And he's like, well, but what about us and dill? And he's like, daddy, what about a group? And she basically was like, thanks, but no thanks. Let's just be friends.
Yeah, well, it sounded like she was going to do that, but then he took her on a date, and then during the date, he was like, oh,
would you like to get a hotel room with me tonight? She's like,
Rabbit!
He's like,
well, we don't have to even touch each other. We can be on other sides of a shower curtain sharing a lovely film from the 80s or something. She's like, that sounds so romantic!
Will there be furtive glances?
Oh, only the most furtive of the glances.
So they get a hotel room, and they go stay over there. Now, I'm confused because Kyle got permission to go on date night with Ashley, but the captain's like, dating a guy with a long wig. Well, good for you. All right, go ahead, but be back here before bedtime, and you're in big trouble. I mean it. But then but then Ben leaves and goes off site with Emily and stays somewhere else. Is maybe they'll get yelled at next week?
Yeah, I don't know. There probably is a little bit of a screwy timeline situation there, but either way, Yes, they, Ben and Rabbit got a little hotel room action where they could be thoroughly polite to each other.
And on Ashley and Kyle's date, he's like, I don't really like the girl, Sierra, because I took her fishing and she texted her boyfriend the whole time. And she's like, why are you talking about girl fishing? What are you, hello? Why were you fishing with the girl? Why were you doing that? And he's like,
well, you went about
and he goes, don't you remember what you told me? Fuck him on the bit. Like, flat out, you told me. She's like, I said that if you're going to fuck me, you better tell me in real life so you don't fuck me and make me look stupid. It's not a free pass to fuck me. And he's like, oh, yes, I misheard you then.
And then he just kind of like laughs at her. And then she's fine. And the funny thing is that all week long, the commercials made Ashley look like a psycho. They're like, Ashley's kind of a psycho. And he's like, I went on a date with Sierra. And she goes, you fucking asshole. I'm going to fucking kill you and knife off your wiener with a wanker and a band, a band. They made her look like a crazy person. And then in the actual show, she's like, oh, all right.
Yeah.
Silly.
But you're an asshole. Shall we order another cold thing, Carl? Purple code. It's an act.
I don't even know what you just said.
I don't either. I just have he's random
put a balaclava
Ashley.
On, but he's still got a penis. You've not put a balaclava on that. And if he's going to use it, he's going to use it.
Basically, it was some Real Housewives of Shesha.
Shesha.
So she's like, but I need to get my doctor paid facade that says that you'll be with me after because I'm not going to ever be able to work my own ass or whatever other days at all. And he's like, that's what I mean, dear. You won't be to even be there. What if you think I'm just a stupid fuck off? She goes, oh, the fuck yeah, fuck off. And he's like, oh, it's romantic. I'll be there for whatever you want.
Oh, so funny. Well, this is very exciting. We're recording this on a Tuesday. Tonight we have Below Deck, and we have the season premiere of Ladies of London. Speaking of Ashley, Ladies of London.
Oh, my words, lads of Lunds.
Thursday will be great. We're going to be doing a full recap of Below Deck. We'll touch on Married to Medicine, because I think there's probably only like two episodes left of Below Deck. And then Ladies of London premiere. Very exciting. And by the way, Top Chef is premiering on Thursday. So we have, talk about next week. But wow, I am so excited for Ladies in London, and I'm very excited for life.
Well, let's go do it, everybody. Let's go live that life, shall we?
Let's go live it. All right,
everybody,
everyone.
Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.